From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block. It has been 3 months since Cuban President Fidel Castro turned power over to his brother, Raul. And since then, there's been a lot of speculation. Will Fidel be back? And if not, will Raul be able to hold the regime together? All the uncertainty has a variety of business people wondering if Cuba will soon become a major economic opportunity. In part two of his series on Cuba, NPR's Adam Davidson has the story of a man who has seen it all before and says U.S.-Cuba trade will not come easy.
John Kavalik has a dream. Well, he used to. He had this fantasy about how great things would be in Cuba one day.
During those magical moments, I absolutely viewed arriving on an American Airlines jetliner and staying at a Marriott, going to eat at a TGI Fridays and picking up some products at Home Depot.
Now, sure, this is not everyone's dream, to turn Havana into a strip mall just like the ones you find off the New Jersey Turnpike.
Or I-95.
Yeah.
Just an extension of I-95 right from Key West and just keep going.
Kavalik was not the only person who wanted to bring American business to Cuba. He was just their leader, the head of the U.S.-Cuba Trade and Economic Council. He had a lot of members.
From Walmart to General Motors to Eli Lilly to Archer Daniels Midland Company to Tyson's Food to Riceland Foods.
The corporate optimism was strong in the mid-90s, up until roughly 9/11, 2001. It was easy to believe back then that Cuba was about to open. Fidel Castro lost the lifeline of Soviet aid and decided to allow at least some foreign companies to set up shop. President Clinton hinted he might drop the embargo. And Kavalik was at the center of all this excitement. He thought just maybe he'd be the guy who would bring Cuba and the U.S. together. There would be regular diplomatic relations, a new U.S. ambassador in Havana. Did you ever fantasize that maybe you'd be the first ambassador?
I absolutely did. Absolutely.
You did, really?
Especially when I'd go down and visit with the head of the U.S. interest section in his office on the top floor of what was our U.S. embassy and be looking out along the Malecon. And sure, I could envision my nameplate on that door and people calling me Mr. Ambassador.
Kavalik says the business case is obvious. Cuba has more than 11 million potential customers. Sure, they're poor, but he says once communism gives way to capitalism, the Cuban economy will take off like China's or Poland's. There really were days, a lot of them, when it seemed like everything was lined up. The Americans were ready. The Cubans were ready.
And then the Cuban government would do something or say something, whether it would be arrest dissidents or shoot down some planes. And with the U.S. government, it was just tiresome. And that was the frustrating. You know, I'd go from these Mount Everest and K2-like peaks to these Death Valley valleys.
It's been nothing but Death Valley for 5 years now, Kavalik says. There is no optimism about U.S.-Cuba relations. Cuba has been getting help from Venezuela, so Fidel has cut back on private sector reforms. And Cuba's new friendship with Venezuela has just pushed the U.S. further away. President Bush has taken a firm anti-Castro stance. He's not going to open the doors. That's why Kavalik says he's all but finished. 5 years ago, he was working 12-hour days, 7 days a week. Now he might spend an hour a day looking at Cuba stories on the internet, maybe taking a call or two.
I got a telephone call from a senior executive of a substantial U.S. Healthcare product company the morning that it was announced President Castro was ill. And he said, you know, John, what should we be doing? And my answer was nothing. Go back to your office and, you know, keep the news on if you'd like, but do not fuel up a jet, do not constitute a Cuban team, nothing. And so he went back to his office.
There are American business people who do have Cuba plans, Cuban Americans, especially those who belong to the Cuban American National Foundation, whose headquarters is in a small office building in Miami.
You'll have here tomorrow well over 60 people.
Yeah.
So they won't fit in this room.
Well, no, they put chairs back here.
We do chairs all the way around, use that table there.
We have these round tables that we put over here.
The foundation is probably the capital of the anti-Castro community in Florida. Alfredo Mesa runs it. Carmela Ruiz is in charge of government relations. They say the Cuban economy is so broken, it needs everything. But no worry. Miami's Cuban Americans are ready. They've got everything covered.
Real estate, restaurateurs, textile,
infrastructure companies.
The list is endless.
Shipping,
it goes on.
Investment bankers, developers.
And on.
Commercial. How much time do you have?
But, they say, none of these Cuban-American business people are willing to work with Cuba until the Castro regime collapses. And with Fidel's brother Raul now firmly in power, it doesn't look like the regime is going away anytime soon. And, of course, aside from a few farmers, the rest of American business isn't interested in pursuing Cuba trade now. So, even if Cuba is going through its biggest transition in nearly 50 years, U.S.-Cuban business ties seem as far away as ever. Adam Davidson, NPR News.